Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 187 is coming your way. Today we're going to talk about proper oral-only cycles for recomposition by Europharma. So in this one, we're going to talk about what is recomposition, diet and training, Europharma orals great for recom. And we're going to talk about how you can stack the EP steroids and ancillaries for best results. So it's going to be a really cool one. And we're going to give you a lot of ideas that are going to help you get better results when you do your recomposition. So it's going to be a really good podcast, especially for those of you out there who want to, you know, gain muscle and lose fat at the same time, which is one of the hardest things to do in bodybuilding. First thing to remind everyone, make sure you're liking, subscribing, you're giving us reviews, you're telling your friends and family, you're checking out the other platforms we are. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on other platforms. Of course, you can come on evolutionary.org and listen to our podcast as well. But it's good to get us out there on these different platforms and support us if you want to keep this podcast going. The algorithms hate our podcast because of the stuff we talk about. The advertisers hate our podcast because of the things we want to talk about. So we're kind of at the mercy of the community to support our podcast. We can't depend like these other YouTubers in fitness that can depend on, you know, pushing supplements and pushing all, you know, and pushing all their ideas and, you know, all this controversy and clickbait and all that stuff. We're doing our podcast to give you the best knowledge and information. So let's get right to it. Let's talk about what is recomposition. So I mentioned on the opening, I'll let Mobster come in a second, but let me give my perspective on what recomposition is. And recomposition, for a lot of you out there, depending on your genetics, may be impossible to pull off in most situations. And let me explain why that is. You know, we have such thing as body memory and muscle memory in our body. Let's say you go through a situation where you were in great shape before, you got out of shape, and then now you're trying to get back into shape the way you were before. And in the process, while you were out of shape, you stopped working out, you stopped eating good, you gained body fat, you lost muscle. Because that's what's going to happen when you stop lifting, especially when you have a lot of muscle. Of course, you're going to shed muscle because your body has no reason to hold on to it because you're not giving it a reason to hold on to it. And then you go back to what you were doing before. You start eating good again. You start training again. You start stimulating those muscles to give them opportunity to grow. You'll find in a natural state, it is very possible to accomplish a recomposition, which is gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time. But in most situations, let's say you're just starting out in weight training, or let's say, you know, you've been weight training for years and years, and you've been consistent, it's going to be very fucking hard to do a recomposition in a natural state. Now, this is one of the reasons we like to use anabolic steroids, especially when we're talking about Europharma anabolic orals, which are quick acting and they're in and out of your system quicker. So you're able to really get a lot of benefits. And we're going to talk about the oral steroids in a bit that, and we're going to give you some ideas on how to stack them. But in a situation where you have that environment where you have performance enhancing drugs in your system and you have these fat burning ancillaries working together to really give you that fat burning and giving you that protein synthesis and binding to SHBG and increasing your male hormones in your system to give you an ability to gain strength and gain muscle, that's a huge advantage. So the recomposition becomes very, very possible, even if your genetics aren't good, and even in any situation where you're not at the mercy of tapping into muscle memory, you know? So this is why recomposition is one of the most challenging things in bodybuilding, but it's also one of the most rewarding things to be able to take a look at yourself in the mirror every day over a course of a cycle and notice yourself dropping body fat and gaining muscle. I ran into someone yesterday who I hadn't seen in about, I'd say, a year, and I ran into this person, and they actually mentioned to me about, "Wow, you look like you've been working out." And it's funny because my weight is down from that point. And it's funny because he said that because it's like, I've been, I didn't really put on much muscle over the past year. I don't think I put on any muscle. And maybe I put on just a hair of muscle, right? But because I've lost so much body fat, I went from probably 10, 11% body fat, and now I'm probably like 6 or 7% body fat. He really noticed, like, wow, you look like you've been working out. So that's a perfect example. So even if you might weigh less during a recomposition, you'll look more muscular. Does that make sense? So we see guys on the forum with logs. They have before and after pictures. You can come on my log as well. I'm going to be posting pictures soon. So by the time you listen to this, you'll see those pictures where you see me, and it's like I look more muscular, even though I'm leaner. And that's what recomposition from a visual standpoint looks like, in my opinion. You actually look more muscular, but you don't weigh as much because your muscle may have stayed the same or maybe gone up a few ounces of extra muscle tissue. But because your body fat went down so much, you look more muscular, but you don't look like the skinny guy with abs, if that makes sense. Mobster, give your perspective.
Yeah, look, as Steve said, I think what, and this is probably a misconception, especially by people outside our niche sport, outside bodybuilding, and people who don't truly understand these kind of transformations as being as hard as they are until they actually try to do it. It's almost, and I've used this turn of phrase before, Steve, what I call the fairy godmother analogy, which is some random Joe or Jane comes to the gym or even just talks to you about training, and they'll say, about coming to the gym, and you go, oh, that'd be cool. It'd be nice to see you down there and stuff. And then they grab hold of a little bit of belly fat and say, I'd love to lose this, and I'd love to build up my shoulders, etc., etc. And you go, okay, and how long would that take? And then you give them the actual information. You're probably the belly fat's going to take a while to lose, let's say a couple of months. And to get your chest as big as what you're talking about might make 3 or 4 months. And then they kind of get that, so I can't do it in 6 or 8 weeks or whatever. And you're going, well, it's going to be a little bit longer. It's going to be really hard work. And what makes it worse, I think, just from an historical sense, point of view as well, Steve, is the magazines when they used to have those kind of transformation, and the transformations were always recomposition. They weren't some skinny guy, as they might have been way back in the day, some skinny guy adding muscles. The transformation challenges and the things, the competitions, and especially the advertisements used to be an out-of-weight professional bodybuilder or good athlete who tanned and putting on a clean pair of tidy shorts instead of sort of strumpy shorts and better lighting, and going from someone that was a ripped-to-fuck bodybuilder in the competition season versus off-season pictures, and then getting back into shape. And sometimes the photographs were a little bit naughty. They'd even do it the other way around, but they would reverse the photographs to give the illusion that this person has been bulked up and then got lean and got into shape. And what we call, what in some people's minds is this idea of literally dropping 40 or 50 pounds of fat, 3 or 4 inches off their waist, and then putting 2 or 3 inches on their shoulders, an inch on their arms, and just absolutely fucking amazing. And the reality, and this is actually, I kind of get annoyed a little tiny bit with gym instructors, PTs, call them what you will. In scientific terms, it is entirely possible. But what we think it should look like versus the reality. So scientific term says if you had 3 pounds of muscle, which is great, and you lost 10 pounds of fat, you recomposition. Now, the person that done it, male or female, doesn't necessarily feel that they've transformed. In reality, in scientific terms, you've added muscle, you lost fat, you've done it at the same goddamn time. That's recomposition. So true recomposition, the way that we want it to be, is kind of hard, exactly like Steve said. So if we lower our expectations from some super duper winning the Euro Millions Powerball lottery $1 billion in my bank account, and lower expectations a little bit and go, listen, guys, in the next 8 to 12 weeks, male or female, I don't care where you're coming from. And it's a lot easier if you're just starting or returning to training, like Steve said. But if you added 3 new pounds of muscle tissue, and if you lost 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds of fat, that would be an outstanding result. Absolutely fucking outstanding. No denying it. And what Steve just talked about, I've talked about this as a great example. We don't always necessarily, as individuals, see ourselves as others do. So the body dysmorphia, the self-image can change from the morning to the night, from being bloated and had a gassy meal last night to having a clean meal and feeling less bloated today. How we see ourselves doesn't change that quick, and especially when we're doing a 8, 10, 12, even 16-week transformation. So one of the tricks that Steve touched upon this is sometimes to post at the beginning of your log photograph as you are right now, and at the end of your log, and nothing in between, or at least compare the latest picture at the end of the log with the one at the beginning and see the transformation. You could post 20 pictures in between, Steve, and not see it. But if you go back to that first picture and you compare it to the last picture, we will see it. You will see it. And the trick, I've talked about doing this back in the days, go and visit someone that hasn't seen you for a few months. Go and see your mum. Take your mum out for coffee and do the transformation from that time to the time you go back again. And if you've transformed, it doesn't have to be huge, but if you've transformed, if you've lost a little bit off your waist, if you put a bit on your chest, if those abs just starting to pop, that person hasn't seen you for months. Oh, you've been on a diet, you've been training. Exactly like Steve said, we won't always see it. I know what my numbers are. Steve knows what the numbers are from when we're training. And we can see that numbers are there, but we won't necessarily visually see it because the transformation is so slow that we won't notice the transformation, but other people will. And that before and after photographing that I've just talked about is a great way of doing it, Steve. I actually get people to do this on the training logs, on the forums, and they put up the latest picture. And people say, oh, your shoulders look bigger, your arms look bigger. I don't always see it. But if I see the beginning picture from 8, 9, 10 weeks ago, oh, Jesus Christ, look at that. His waist has gone down. His abs are tighter. His arms are filled out. There's a vein there that wasn't 100%. I can see that. And that's a much easier way for transformation. I also talk about the long-term effect, and we're going to get into the train and the diet and how important those things are. And I think the thing of it is, in terms of whether it's bulking or getting cut, the hardest thing, and we will talk about this especially in the next part of the show, the hardest thing is this recomposition. And so I will say now, as we sort of go segue into the next section, you must be on point throughout the process. So I'm going to big you guys up right now and say that with our help on the forums, the advice in this podcast, this is the reason why you're listening to this show. This is the reason why you're going to tell your buddies about the show. We want you to be laser focused on training, on diet, and obviously on your PEDs. And I don't want you to fuck up at any point because that's how you will
Yeah.
make it's a difficult situation. You will make it happen if you do what we tell you to do.
Do you think recomposition requires patience based on what you just said about the pictures and the
Absolutely, Steve.
yeah.
Don't expect the fairy godmother. Don't expect the power ball win. Do not expect 20 pounds off, 15 pounds of muscle, 20 pounds of fat off, 15 pounds of muscle on. But set realistic goals, especially over 8 weeks, for example, with an oral stat, and we'll talk about that as well. Why orals are not injectables, but expect realistic goals. So, for example, if I was 500 pounds and I went to Weight Watchers, I'd probably lose 100 pounds real, real quick. But when it comes to recomposition, you shouldn't be massively out of shape and you shouldn't be massively not muscular. But you can expect, I would say, for example, in 8 weeks, I would expect 8 pound minimum fat loss if you had that much to begin with. Pound a week is perfectly reasonable. And I would expect 3 to 4 pounds if I was completely focused and really dedicated of new tissue. Now, those numbers aren't vast. But imagine if you did two recomps a year, if you did two cuts a year, you did two bulks a year, and you had those numbers every single time. Steve and I train for the long term. I've been training decades. Steve's not far behind me. And over that time, we've become muscular, strong fucking freaks of nature with world-class lifts and knowledge that blows your mind. It's not a 5-minute wonder. So yeah, Absolutely, Steve. Reasonable expectations and dedication to the course. Look, the harder you guys work, the more focused you are, the more realistic you are, the more likely you are to achieve recomposition, and the more likely you are to see transformation. It's not an easy thing to do. So let's not play silly buggers. You will need to harder than bulking, arguably as difficult as cutting might be. I would actually say it's slightly harder than cutting as well, unless you're getting into competition shape, which is a different kettle of fish. But for most people, can you recomp? Yes. Is it difficult? Abso-fucking-lutely. Be reasonable with your expectations and you will get results. And think, look what you've done in 8 fucking weeks. Look how you've transformed your physique so that someone literally stops you in the street and sees a difference in 8 weeks, Steve. And that's out of a 52-week year. That's out of the rest of your life. Can you make more transformations and better results over a longer period of time? Fucking, of course you can. So that's the way that I would look at it. Do what you've got to do right now. Be absolutely the best you possibly can be. And here's the thing again, guys. The reward is amazing. Look what you've done for yourself in this situation. Let me touch upon just one thing before we move on and start talking about diet and training, especially. And it just occurred to me, because we will talk about PEDs as a thing in and of themselves. I would actually argue here, Steve, that with orals, including neuropharmacy products, you've making it that little bit more difficult for yourself. Because I would say with orals, it's probably a little bit harder than it would be with injectables. But I understand, and it did occur to me as we were talking about this show and doing the what we're going to talk about on the show, on the episode, why orals and not injectables, because some of you won't like needles. It might be your first time coming to look at PEDs. That's completely understandable. Arguably, the short, quicker in, quicker out aspect of orals, they nearly all have a much short half-life than injectables, would mean there's a lot more flexibility. And I've even got a little suggestion, which I told Steve about in a pre-show, that we're going to come at this almost with a bulk slash cut approach, two-stage rather than a single stage like we normally would with regards to the approach of recomposition, which is possible. Way more possible because of the flexibility of orals, and especially using some of the more stimulatory, shall we say, ancillaries. So it's a question of choice. So the choice today, as a question that has been raised, is why orals? And we'll get to that obviously later on. Let's talk now, Steve, a little bit more about training and diet. Look, I'll bring Steve in for this as well. We could talk about fasting, especially in this as another something in your armory to use. We talked about this on other shows, whether we're bulking, whether we're cutting, whether we're recomping. And I actually wrote this down and said to Steve, I was going to put down diet, 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 and then training. Because I would actually argue in recomposition, recomp, as we say for short, diet is more important than it would be in a cut and more important than a bulk. Above and beyond, there should be no slack here. You're only going to be doing this for 8 weeks because you're using orals. Arguably, that's the sort of the longest that we'd like to run orals for, typically 4 to 8 weeks. Your diet needs to be on point. Abso-fucking-lutely. It might change in terms of a little bit more protein here as you add muscle, a little bit less carbs and fat as you manipulate your calories and your intake over the time as your body starts to transform slowly but surely. But I would actually argue here, Steve, that there's a great conversational thing in training. And in this whole sport that we do, what is the percentage? Here it's kind of 90% diet, Steve. There's no 50-50 like we might talk about other things. Here is 90% diet. You should be training. You should know what you're doing in a gym. You could be working with a BT. But diet is the most important factor in recomposition. Abso-fucking-lutely. Talk a little bit about fasting, and then we'll talk about the kind of things that you could do with a diet and training.
Yeah, and look, when it comes to diet, before I talk about fasting, the simplest thing that you can do to completely change your diet is go to your pantry, go to your freezer, go to your fridge, and box up the foods that are not
Yes.
healthy and that are junk and that you should know are junk, and delete these apps, the Uber Eats, and all this other stuff, and these delivery apps, these pizza apps that you have on your phone. That's the number one thing you can do. Even if you're 10% body fat and you want to get down to 6 or 7%, if you're 15% body fat and want to get down to 10%, if you're 20% body fat and you want to get down to 15%, no matter what your situation is where you want to lose body fat, You've got to make sure you're not using any of these things. I don't use any of these apps. I don't even know. I used to make fun of it. I used to be like, what the fuck is Uber Eats? I thought it was like some type of joke or something. I'm like, really? There's such thing as Uber Eats where you can actually go on your phone on an app and order food and then they can bring it to your door in 20 minutes
Yeah,
or
just to jump in here, Steve, I haven't had any food delivered to this place in years. And in fact, one of the tricks I've done in the past, if I got hungry for crap when I was doing a cut, when I was doing a bulk, and I wanted something, because I hadn't got it, I'd have to go and get it in an evening. And if I was lazy, because I'd been training and working my ass off, whatever, the idea that I'd have to go and fucking get it didn't appeal to me. So I'm like, if I'm not going to go and get it, and if I'm not going to order it, then I can't fucking have it. So I never had it. I haven't had food delivered to this place that I've lived in now since I think I might have had one delivery, two deliveries when I first moved in. That's it. And I've been here 13 years. So right in the first few weeks of moving in. And apart from that, nothing. So yeah, absolutely agree with Steve. Throw out all the crap from your cupboards, your larder, whatever else. No snacks. And I think the biggest one here, Steve, because a lot of this will apply to our listeners. When you're tired and you come home from work, and when you come home from college or whatever the fuck it is that keeps you busy all day, the first thing you want to do is, oh, I don't want to cook a big meal. I don't want to do this. So yeah, that's when the apps and all those kind of things come in. I'll get order something in. So no. I'll just finish on this point as well, Steve. And we say this when it comes to cutting. We say this when it comes to bulking. The most success that we've seen on our forums, regardless of that person's aspiration to bulk, to be stronger, whatever else, every single person that meal preps is, I would argue, Steve, way more likely to be successful than those that do not. I've seen people trying to eat healthy and they've used an app and it's included the name of the company or the shop, the supermarket, whatever, that they bought the food from. And it might be a healthy supermarket option. But I'm still, that's still processed. The ones that got their Tupperware tubs, their food tubs, and cooked the broccoli and the rice and the chicken and the sweet potatoes, whatever the fuck it is they're eating. If every other aspect of their approach to training for whatever target it is on point and they meal prep, I would put money on that person being successful. So it's especially going to apply here.
So I can walk down the street on recycle day and tell who's healthy and who isn't based on what's in their bin. So I walk down the street, I see the same neighbors week in and week out. They got pizza boxes, two pizza boxes. That means they're eating pizza twice that week. I see cereal boxes. That means they're eating cereal pretty much every day, or their kids are eating cereal every fucking day. See the packaged foods. I see the frozen meal packages. I see the bags with logos of fast food joints, as Monster talked about, or restaurants. That's a red flag that the person is making their bodies metabolically sick. And that's not going to allow you to burn body fat. That's going to put your body in fat store mode and not in fat burning mode. So one of the first things you need to do before you even think about fasting, because if you implement fasting and your meals are still crap, you're just gonna spin your wheels and it's not going to get you anywhere. So you need to clear out all the junk, okay? There's epiphanies that we experience in life. I experienced this, I was probably about 24 or 25, Mobster, where I took a cardboard box. I remember this. I went in my pantry. I had candy bars. I had all this junk, right? And I went in my fridge and I boxed up everything and I took it down to the local food bank or whatever and I dropped it off. And I was like, here you go. And one of the things I did is I went to the grocery store and I started buying, whole quality single ingredient foods, and I started food prepping my own foods. So no more eating out. I used to go to Outback Steakhouse every Friday night with my girlfriend at the time. Every Friday night, I used to order the cheese fries, I used to order a steak. That's the way they prep the steak is so unhealthy. The fats that they add to the steak are so unhealthy. The quality of the steak is unhealthy. It's grain finished steak. It's basically like eating candy. It's not good quality beef. But because they dilute it in so much fat, it's very satiating. And all that food that they give you, the Caesar salad, they drench all that Caesar dressing on it with the croutons. It's not good for you. But if you make your own salad without You make your own dressing, apple cider vinegar, some oregano, some black pepper. That's a good healthy salad that you can put together versus eating a salad, or you can add some lemon to it too. That's a good quality dressing, a good quality healthy dressing that you can add to your meal instead of using their dressing, which is extremely low quality. These little changes that you have to make. You can't depend on other people to feed you. You've got to feed yourself, and you got to feed yourself healthy. Fasting. Now, let me get into fasting a little bit. Fasting will boost your insulin sensitivity immediately. Immediately. It may take a couple of weeks for that light switch to go off and that addiction to food to go away. Just ask yourself, what's the longest you've ever gone fasting, not eating food? Many of you never even gone a day without having to eat food. And what do you think is happening in that situation? You're training your body to constantly need food. You're training your body to become more insulin resistant. And what happens is it's going to be very difficult to cut body fat in that environment because your body's been trained to store body fat and to keep a certain amount of body fat on your body. If you implement fasting, your body will learn that it's okay to, get rid of that body fat. That's the energy that it needs. You're forcing your body to burn that energy. So there's different fasting protocols. There's time-restricted eating where you're eating a 2-hour window, a 4-hour window, or a 6-hour window. 8-hour windows are very popular out there. I know a lot of people that do that, but it's too long in my opinion. It's too long. And it's not my opinion, it's a fact. It's just too long. So shorten that to 6 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours. I usually eat in a 2 to 4 hour window every single day. And then throw in some 24-hour, 36-hour fasts in there as well. That will be very beneficial. We have a guy on our forum named Prince Daddy who's doing a log right now. He's competing in a competition coming up, and he looks absolutely diced. He's done an amazing job of leaning out. Now, I don't know how good he's going to do in his competition. It depends who shows up. But the point is, he looks the best he's ever looked. And he's, a guy who, if you look at his past pictures, he's been kind of all over the place, but now he looks so ripped. It's amazing. He's got a full six pack. So whatever he does good at the competition, it's like, who gives a shit? The point is he can walk at the beach and people are gonna look and be like, wow, that motherfucker is big and he's got fucking six pack abs. He's not some
Yep,
skinny
Steve,
surfer.
55. Yep, 55 years of age, vascular,
How
circulation of the
many
leg.
people can say they're 55 years old in Texas, of all places, in America, which is where he's from, who's got a six pack at 55 plus and who's muscular? Not just a skinny surfer six pack, but how many people can say that? It's very, very small because Texas is one of the fattest states in America. The whole Deep South is fat as fuck. Texas, especially, you won't find a lean person in Texas. The men are basically they have the pregnant gut. So you won't find a skinny person in Texas. So for him to accomplish that is amazing. And one of the things he does, Mobster, is the fasting. You can go on his log and look. He does all kinds of fasting. He does time-restricted eating. He does 24-hour
Two
fasts.
thoughts here, Stephen, just so you can let the listeners know. The one is the reduction of the actual stomach size, so your waist actually gets smaller and tighter, and Steve can talk about that. And the other thing, Steve, just to remind the listeners again, is gut health. So talk about those things as well.
Yeah, and gut health starts with not putting stuff in your stomach that's going to irritate it. So, very, very important that you find out. Everybody's going to be different. There is no black and white. This is why this pisses me off in the fitness industry. And I know it pisses you off, Mobster. These yo-hos on the fitness industry who copy-paste the same diet program for everybody, and they charge them like $400 or $500. And it's the same fucking diet plan. They'll sell 1,000 of these diet plans and make a fortune, but that doesn't help anybody because everybody's going to be different. Your buddy who came on the podcast maybe a year ago, he had
Yeah,
Crohn's disease.
Mark, yeah.
And one
Mark
of the
Williams, yeah.
fascinating things is he does three things. He eats, consumes raw meat, raw dairy, which you're not even going to find in America, because dairy in America, you can't legally sell raw dairy in America. It's illegal. It's got to be pasteurized. And then three, he fasts. And that solved his Crohn's disease and enabled allow him to live a normal life. But that diet would not work on someone else. So everybody's gonna have a little bit of a diet. He found that diet through trial and error and by doing things very unconventionally. So you may be in a situation where something might irritate you and something might irritate another person. Like me, I'm very dairy intolerant. I cannot consume dairy. If I do, I get basically diarrhea, I get cramps, I get a stomach ache. Garlic and onions absolutely destroys my gut. If I take garlic and onions, it absolutely destroys me for the day, puts me out. I cannot have that. So basically, I avoid fermented foods. I avoid high FODMAP foods. So start there. I have a lot of clients that come to me. I have stomach problems. I have stomach problems. And one of the first things I do is I tell them, okay, here's a map chart of the FODMAP foods. Stay away from the high FODMAP foods. And he's like, well, Steve, every day for lunch, I make Chinese food and I mix in garlic in my Chinese food. So I said, okay, stop adding garlic to your Chinese food. Start there. And then a couple of weeks later, he messaged me, Steve, oh my God, you saved my life. My stomach problems are gone. I said, there you go. Literally just adding one ingredient to his healthy food that he was making was fucking up his gut. So how are you going to recomp? How are you going to have a successful cycle using your pharma products when your gut is bothering you? How are you going to go work out when your stomach hurts? How are you going to function? How are you going to sleep if you go to sleep every night and your stomach hurts? So you have to figure out what foods bother you and what foods don't. And a lot of people say, well, Steve, I'll have dairy and I'll take an enzyme. Okay, you can do that. But my solution is, why do you need to take an enzyme before every meal? My solution is you want to get to a point where you don't have to take an enzyme before every meal. So if you want to enjoy some dairy and you take a digestive enzyme to help you break down lactose, then that's one thing. But day-to-day basis, having to take an enzyme before your meals, that to me is a waste of money. And I think that you're not doing your body any favor because your body is rejecting certain foods for a reason. And a lot of that has to do with your genetics because some people genetically cannot digest high FODMAP foods. Some people can't digest dairy. Some people can't digest this or that. And the other challenge is your body changes over time. You may have been able to tolerate dairy products 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Mobster, I think you were like that. And now you're an older person. And that
Yeah,
happens. As we age, our body changes. And
can't
now,
add to the list. This regular list, there's no. I cannot eat dark or dairy chocolate whatsoever anymore without it upsetting my stomach. Yet back in the day, I could eat that till it came out of my ears. Can't do it anymore.
yeah, so your body's going to change over time. You got to keep an eye on that. So at the end of the day, you're going to get a good read. But the all comes back to the same thing, food prepping at the end of the day. Because you go out to a restaurant, you don't know what they're putting in the food. Even if you tell them, hey, yeah, don't put onions. I've done that. How many times have you gone to a restaurant, you tell them something, and then they do it anyway because they don't have time. They're in the restaurant. They're in a rush. They're putting the food together. These are guys that just got out of prison cooking the food. This is the only job that they can get and make a decent wage. They're not going and hiring professional chefs at these restaurants. They're paying these cooks like a very low wage. So these cooks don't give a shit. If you tell the cook, oh, I can't have garlic, he's still going to put it anyway because he doesn't have time. He might be making three different meals at the same time. He doesn't have time to separate the garlic, or he might mix you up with another plate. So it's just like you can't depend on people to cook for you. You have to cook your own food. Guys and gals out there, and knowing what goes in your body is very important. Otherwise, you're just going to be bloated all day, like Mobster said earlier. If you're bloated all day, what the fuck is the point of wanting a six pack when you're bloated and you can't even see your six pack because you're bloated all day because you keep putting foods in your body that your body doesn't like?
So, Steve, look, diet, and we've just talked about this probably for the last 5, 6, 7 minutes, guys, is absolutely el numero uno on a recomposition. I'm going to touch briefly now, Steve, because it is still important, just not as important as diet on training. So, a few simple tricks. I'm going to assume that most of our listeners have already been working out in some way, already maybe do a little bit of cardio or some kind of fitness. And you're approaching the recomposition thing. It might be different if you're brand spanking new. I'd actually argue, Stephen, a recomposition is much easier if you're new to training, new to cardio. So let's assume that our listeners have some gym experience, already know how to work out, and so on and so forth. So here's a few very simple, straightforward tricks. You're not cutting, you're not getting into competition shape, but you are trying to add muscle and lose fat. So just using my own experience as an example. And I've talked about this just before. In fact, I even saw a very good example of this on the forums recently, Steve, where the person decided to get up 30 minutes before the kids wake up. They've got the kids, busy. They're taking the kids to after school clubs, etc., etc., etc. Go to bed. My daughter does this. She goes to bed at the same time as kids. So it can feel like your day's super crazy busy. But if you do get the rest, you're going to bed when the kids get to bed, half hour in the morning and getting up and doing your steps, or half hour in the morning and going down to the basement or whatever and riding the bike. And then immediately you're done 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half hour of cardio, putting the kids' food out, getting the kids ready for school, and so on and so forth. Like the normal shit. Same thing with work, same thing with college. It depends on the different lifestyles of our listeners. So that's number one. I would absolutely have a daily, as I do, as I'm sure Steve does, level of activity that keeps me where I am right now. So I need to increase that level of activity. For me, it's been, instead of two lots of steps a day, Steve, I pushed it to three steps. And that's gone from 6,000, which is my minimum, to 9,000. I'm actually doing that right fucking now. No problem. I'm not even trying to, but I am. But for recomping, you need, as I said, so you've got to be burning calories. So you're going to be doing walking a bit further, riding a bit further, parking a car a little bit further away from the gym. I don't care what it is. You need to increase your cardio a little. I'd say about 30%, Steve, just to start to make a difference and help you with the calorie burning. But also, as Steve said, you're going to have those fasting days in there. Perhaps at the weekend, Steve, would be a great way to do it. Non-training days might be a great way to do
Yeah,
it,
and
and so on.
I do that, by the way, on leg day especially. I'll park
Yeah,
far
see?
away from the entrance to the gym. This way I get a little warm up walking to the gym.
Yeah,
Then when I get in the gym, I walk on the treadmill. Yeah, just to warm
We
up my
had
legs
rain the
because it's
other day,
good.
Steve, and the gym was half empty. It's been hot and people have been coming early. And I'm like, you're in your fucking car. I walk to the gym. It's about a mile. It takes me less than 20 minutes, way less, about 15 minutes. And walk to the gym and I've already got a stretch and then I'm straight onto the weights. So I don't have to get to the gym in my fucking car that I've driven the same distance and then get on the machine and warm up. It makes no sense to me. That's number one. Number two would be training, right? So here's a couple of very, very simple things. Again, I'm assuming that you have some training experience, but we want to make a transformation. We want to recomp. And I want to visually see something at the end. Now, I would normally recommend on a bulk hitting the compounds. On a cut, you might focus on your stomach. If you were doing competitions, you're competing, and you might even want to do this in your training anyway. You might be looking, I want my shoulders to be broader, I want a better biceps peak, and so on. I might pick, this is just me thinking out loud here, Steve. You might have different ideas. I might pick a visual thing like the outer head of my delts, the side head of them, so the anterior, the lateral head of your delts, and spend the whole 4 to 8 week recomp focusing specifically on the outer head of my delts. The rest of my training, I manipulate here and there and be flexible in what that person particularly wants from their training. But I might do one thing that might be flattening my stomach, it might be working on my obliques, it might be the outer head of my legs, or as I say here, the lateral head of your delt, something that I will see visually when I've got that little bit leaner and a little bit more muscular at the end of my recomposition. So I can actually see for myself. Hey, yeah, your delts look bigger, your shoulders look wider, your waist has come down because of the fasting. Your waist has come down because you've been meal prepping and not eating the gassy food. Like Steve says, your waist has come down because your digestion's improved. And then I've got this slightly wider look and appearance to my delts. Now I've literally got something. Guys, it doesn't have to be that. It can be the outer head of your triceps. It could be a better sweep to the outside of your quads. It could be better looking calves. The rest of your training could be on point. Doing just enough so that you still stay in a muscular shape. You work it a little tiny bit harder, a little bit more focused to bring up the training that you're already doing. But I would pick one thing there, Steve, just one that I can literally see this for myself. And no matter what other people might see, like we talked about earlier, one little improvement in 8 weeks that I will notice. And not only have I got leaner, not only is my stomach tighter, but my outer head of my triceps are popping. Oh my God, my arms have never looked so fucking good. Just a visual thing to catch the eye. And I guarantee it's one of those things, again, that people might see. And again, when we said about showing you someone who hasn't seen you for a while, and they will see the recomposition. When I'm looking at your recomposition pics, the beginning one and the last one, oh my God, your arms are better than he was before. Just a simple little thing. It's just an idea of something that you can visually catch your eye on, regardless of whatever else has been going on, and hook into that as a as a way of seeing a transformation for yourself. And so, I mean, the stomach thing I really like, Steve, in terms of I don't do this. And I said, I can actually work my core more, some of the heavier exercises that I do. But I would probably be doing things like planks, leg raises, anything to flatten my stomach. So, again, just to get my core tight, improve my core strength for what I do, but also keep my stomach flat, et cetera, et cetera. Let's talk about now, Steve, the orals that we would pick. And I've got my two-pronged approach to think about. But let's discuss some of the EP options and ancillaries that we would pick. And then we can talk about the approach to how we'd use them as well.
Yeah, and the obvious one right off the bat, and I've used this many times, is Anavar. And I know you're a big fan of Anavar. I'll let you talk about it too. But Anavar is one of those oral steroids that a lot of people believe, and there's been some backing, anecdotal data, maybe some studies on this that have shown it. Maybe it's an indirect thing. It might not. It's probably not a direct thing. But when it comes to fat loss, so Anavar is a great one for recomposition because obviously you're going to increase your lean muscle mass on Anavar. But there are also some evidence that it can help with stomach fat loss at the same time, especially if you have your diet and your training on point, as we've we talked about. So Anavar is a great option. Your pharma has amazing Anavar. It's been tested. It's been sent off and tested. We know it's legit. It's like 99.5% quality. And you could do, as a man, anywhere from 30 to 50 milligrams. Some people go higher, some people go lower. I've done as low as 20 milligrams a day, and I've gotten great results. Females, 2.5 milligrams up to 10 milligrams is a really, really good dose. And you can go like 6 weeks on it. Some people go 8 weeks as well, and it will give you some really good results. Another one is Taranabol, same thing. And both men and women can use Taranabol. So with men, same thing, 30 to 50 milligrams, 6 to 8 weeks. And then females, same thing, 2.5 to 10 milligrams on the Taranabol. And that's another one. It's cheaper than Anavar. So if you have a budget issue going on, you could save a little money and use that money toward more nutritious foods, as we talked about earlier. But it can be very, very beneficial. And the Taranabol works a little better than the Anavar, in my opinion, for some of you, because you can be more cardiocentric on the Taranabol, because the pumps, especially like the back pumps and the leg pumps, aren't going to be like Anavar. So Taranabol, just the way it's structured, it doesn't give you those types of pumps. So you could do more cardio. Like when I was using Anavar, I'd come home, I'd drive home from the gym, and I stop at a park, and I do like a 1 mile sprint. There was this track, right? Not a track, but like at a park, there was a 1 mile run where you could run along the trail that they have there. And a lot of people would go there and run. So I'd go there and I'd run. And what I noticed, it was like a half a mile into the run on the Anavar, my lower back started hurting, man. It would give me the craziest pumps in my lower back. So I was like, man, I was like, started laughing. I was like, yeah, this is when I was first starting getting into using Anavar. And I always read about that. The pumps, the legendary Anavar pumps, they're so unique compared to other steroids. And I was like, wow, this stuff really gives you a nice pump. And I was like, man, I'm doing the wrong thing here. I shouldn't be running on Anavar. So another time I switched to Taranabol, did the same thing. It didn't have any pumps. So my point is, if you like to do running, you like to do a lot of cardio, then Taranabol would be a better option in that situation. But if you want to do more in the gym, high repetition, high volume, keeping, 15, 20, 25 seconds in between sets, just keeping your heart rate up when you're training, Anavar is great. You love those pumps. You love doing those drop sets. Anavar is great in that situation. So you can experiment with both and see which one you like. Mobster?
So I'm going to ask you a question rather than make a suggestion here, Steve. So I know that neither of us per se, but again, this is recompositioning, guys. So it's a question of what you do versus necessarily what you like. What about using something like Superdrol just for a few weeks, Steve, and then switching to something milder for the latter part of the cycle, which is my two-pronged approach. There's something else I'm looking at here, Steve. Not only have they got an oral version, of course, of Winstrol in the form of Stanozolex, they've also got an oxandrolone 30 milligram Stanozolol 20 milligram summer cutting cycle, which I think would work quite well on a recomposition, again, with the diet and the training being on point. So here's the thing I was going to talk about earlier. Normally, as I said, 4 to 8 week for orals. Normally, when we're talking about orals, Steve and I pretty much agree with this. We'd normally pick an oral or two, and we run these at relatively low dosages for obvious reasons. And very rarely do we go much beyond 4 weeks. But we're talking about here recomposition. And I think recomposition would be that much harder in 4 weeks. So my thought here, Steve, was something a little bit stronger. Again, not something necessarily we'd normally pick, but Superdrol for 4 weeks, assuming you could handle it for 4 weeks. And then a more milder like Winstrol or Anavar or Turinabol, like Steve said, for the latter 8 weeks. So what do you think about that? And also, purely and simply because I have seen people do well on these products in the past. And ironically, for some people, they will get into shape where I've seen different approaches, for example, with Anadrol instead of Anavar. I know that some people will get into shape, other people I know have blown the fuck up. I've never got much out of it. But what about the two-pronged approach there, Steve, and that kind of combination of one of the
Yeah.
products they've got there as well?
I would keep the dose low because Superdrol, it's going to really kill your cardio. You're not going to be able to do cardio on it. It's going to make you feel like shit. Your workouts are going to feel like shit. I couldn't stand the stuff personally. I'll never touch it again. We have a guy actually that did Superdrol recently. He got blood work done and his liver values are jacked up like you wouldn't believe. So it's a very toxic steroid, but you're a pharma has it. If you want to try it, try it. It's definitely gonna make you strong as fuck, and it's definitely has the ability to help with recomposition. Winstrol is gonna
Maybe,
dry.
yeah, sorry, maybe then 2 weeks at 10 to 30 milligrams a day for 2 weeks, and then switch into something milder like Anavar or Turinabol, as
Maybe
Steve
take a
said.
week off and then let it kind of dissipate from your system and then get on Winstrol. Winstrol is more of a dryer. It's going to dry you the fuck out. So Winstrol is another one. Not going to be able to do cardio on Winstrol in any great amount unless it's like very low impact cardio. But if you want to go for a run, Winstrol is a bad idea. The pumps are going to be nasty, and
Something we've suggested, Steve, not to confuse the listeners, but for example, Winstrol as a means to draw an out, like Steve says, and then again, relatively low dosaging, but introducing the Turinabol, because we've actually said this, even when we talked about Tren as an injectable, we said it negates somewhat your ability to do cardio, because Tren in and of itself, like Superdrol, will fuck your cardio. It's going to be so much harder. But Turinabol was specifically designed for athletes, and I mean athletic field athletes, to be able to maintain a sense of power and speed, and middle distance, plus putting a shot throwing a javelin and so on and so forth, but without being the size of a fucking house and getting drug tested in the Olympic Games. And so we know that it will negate, it won't completely remove the negative effects of using the harsher orals, or as we said, the trend, but it will allow you to do some level of cardio. And that ability, low level, low intense cardio, rather than high intense stuff, will help you with regards to fat burning, maintaining the metabolic ticking over, and so on and so forth, that you want throughout the whole of the recomposition. What about, and we've discussed this in the pre-show, some of the ancillaries here.
Yeah.
So,
Well, let
for
me talk about
example,
one more thing real quick
yeah,
because
go on.
your pharmacies has something really cool. It's called the summer cutting cycle. And of course, if you're our friends in Australia, your summer is winter and winter is summer. So you get my drift. But they call this the summer cutting cycle. It's 20 milligrams Winstrol plus 30 milligrams of Anavar together. So it's 50 milligrams a tab. So you could take one of these suckers every day and you can go into the gym and you can do high volume drop sets. Do as much cardio as you can, low impact cardio where you don't have to worry about pumps. Maybe do some Pilates on this stuff. Maybe do some yoga. Something where you're not running. Like you don't want to run a trail, right? And then I had this before. I did a 5K one time. It was a trail 5K one time. And like halfway through, I had to just stop and get on the ground because my calf was pumped so bad it was about to explode out of my legs. So you don't want to be stuck somewhere, in the middle of the woods on the ground because you didn't, you're like, shit, I didn't know this would happen to me. So but this is one you can do low impact type of cardio. Maybe you can walk around a soccer field or something like that on where it's on grass. But this would be really, really nice. So this is something unique that your pharmacies has. So you could check that one out as well. So ancillaries, let me get over some ancillaries. Let me talk about the GLP-1s. And you're a former right now, they have semaglutide, Ozempic. And that's a great one for recomposition because it's going to put your body in fat burning mode. It's almost like fasting without actually fasting. And it's going to, reduce your appetite and it's going to change the hormones in your system. Over time, you're a pharma buyer by the time you listen to this podcast. Your pharma is also going to have tirzepatide and retatrutide, which are more modern versions of GLP-1s. Semaglutide single agonist, tirzepatide is a double agonist, and retatrutide is a triple agonist. But these are great additions to your steroid cycle, and these will help you cut down during your recomp and really do a lot of good stuff for you. Mobster?
Absolutely, Steve. I was just thinking exactly as Steve said those words. If they've not already got it, Steve, they'll be out there looking to produce it in a not too distant future. I wouldn't be at all surprised. I'm looking at a few other options here, Steve. I really, really like that summer cutting cycle with the training and diet protocols that we've talked about, because it will come down to the effort that you put in the gym and at the kitchen table. You don't have to be, even though it's a cutting product, it will still help you maintain lean muscle mass. It will still help you even add a few pounds of muscle and at the same time help you dry out. And because of the work you're doing in the kitchen and in the gym, that sort of added muscle and losing fat to me is just a bit case of using a tool in a slightly different way from what it's intended for. I'm also looking at products, for example, they have thyroid products here, Steve. They've got a cleanse product. They've even, as we know, they've got growth hormone. So again, look. The way that I sometimes describe when we're talking about products, I use the euphemism of having the same toolbox that everybody else has got, but it's how I use that tool. So, for example, this would not normally be something that we would recommend, but for example, we literally did a show 5, 6 months ago where we said, can you bulk on a cutting product? Can you cut on a bulking product? And the answer is yes. It's just a question of making things that much more difficult for yourself. When the company's produced a product like that, where they've kind of done the work for you, and I would literally take one pill, half in the morning, half of a night time with it, Steve. That's 50 milligrams total for the day, 350 milligrams for the week. Keep it to 4 to 8 weeks. You can even do things like, and I said this earlier on, where you take a two-pronged approach and split. Keep a harsher product at the beginning just to get things really going. You can even dose products slightly higher at the beginning. Again, almost, and I'm not a big fan of this, but for kickstarting, and then make sure that your diet and training is on point throughout the rest of the cycle, lowering the dosages to keep it sort of within safety areas in terms of making sure that your organs are clean and healthy. Talk about using organ products. Boost that sort of side of things, but again, because you might be running an oral cycle slightly longer than we would normally recommend. And you can even do stuff like this, Steve. You don't have to run orals for the whole of this recomposition. You could literally go the first 4 weeks just diet and training, and then just run your orals for the last 4 weeks as an aid to finishing off the whole training program, the whole recomposition, and bringing in that shape. And again, I like the simple fact here, Steve, as you mentioned already, that there are so many options here for, again, the clenbuterol. One of the protocols that we've approached with clenbuterol is 40 micrograms to begin with, then 80 micrograms, then at the top end, 120 micrograms, and then having a certain period of time off. If you was doing this recomposition, Steve, would you, for example, look at maybe using clen for a short period of time over and above the keeping the diet and training on point?
I wouldn't. I'm not a fan of clen. I use it a couple of times. It just doesn't agree with me. But some people really like it. We still see guys today using it, and it works for them. So it's one of those things. It's like trial and error. For me, I'd rather stick with the GLP-1s because they have lower side effects and they have like other health benefits as well. So they're really there's some evidence that the GLP-1s also help with things like dementia and other things you wouldn't even think. So I would stick to the GLP-1s, but like I said, a lot of people they like the thyroid, the T3, they like the clean, and they still will use that. So everybody's gonna be a little different. You could experiment on
One
these
more
different.
question then, Steve, before we talk about your pharmacies themselves. What about managing estrogen, especially perhaps the beginning as a person starts to get in shape versus the end when they should be a little bit leaner?
Well, none of these oral steroids that we talked about would cause estrogen issues. So the only reason you'd have to worry about that in any of these situations is if you were using a lot of testosterone. So if you're losing at least like 250, 300 milligrams of testosterone with any of these oral cycles, which a lot of people may choose to do, but in this one, we're talking about oral-only cycles. We're not talking about adding testosterone. So don't be shy if you do insist on using testosterone in one of these recomposition oral stacks that we talked about to also pick up some Uropharmacy's Aromasin or Arimidex. Very, very important to use those. Otherwise, you're just going to blow it up and you're not going to like the way you look.
Yeah, there's also an element, I think, Steve, sometimes with, especially when it comes to estrogen, and especially when we're talking about recomping, of how out of shape you are at the beginning versus being a little bit out of shape and deciding to do recomposition. If you're 40 or 50 pounds overweight, it's going to be that much harder. If you're 5, 10, 15 pounds overweight, it should be that much easier. And you're more likely to have estrogen issues with the first approach than you are the second approach. So it's one of those things I will say about having what I call a run-up, which is start to clean up your diet, start to look at your cardio, and then when the actual oral cycle is introduced and you use the neuropharmacy products, that's when everything must be on point. You've practiced, now it's time to knuckle down and get true best quality result recomposition possibly can while you're on cycle. Let's talk briefly here, Steve, about neuropharmacies. Regular listeners will know that they are my go-to. They are my goat, as we like to say on these kind of shows and see people talking about online. I have used other companies and I've had great results. Abso-fucking-lutely. I talk about those companies and I talk about the results. You know that there's no denying it. But what do I use every single fucking day, Steve, for my TRT, for my whatever, went most of my cycles are Uropharmacy products. And I do that for multiple reasons. I'm literally looking right now, Steve, at their lab results page on a Uropharmacy's main website. And they've got everything broken down by the different kinds of products that they produce, whether that's Ozempic, like Steve talked about, peptides, the vials, the orals, the SARMs, the HGH, the HEG, you name it. And there's a great long list of stuff here that you can click on and see from, that's just the list, plus, of course, the breakdown by product of their latest. And these are verifiable. They will show you the testing facility that they've used and enable you to go and look at that facility with the unique code and check that this is not a fake lab result, but one that's genuinely been created by that testing facility. And something we talk about on shows for obvious reasons is that you don't get to last in an industry. I believe Uropharmacies is coming up on over 2 decades. It might be 22, 23 years this thing. I've been around the industry long enough as a fan, as a pundit, as I am now, whatever, to see labs come and go, to see great brands come and go, to hear about the Mexican lab raids back in the day and see video examples of really crappy setups that people were distributing drugs from, specifically steroids from, and hear some of the horror stories. And you do not get to last over 2 decades in an industry if that's the way you're operating. You don't build up a reputation as a solid company producing these kind of products, putting this stuff out there into the ether, allowing athletes, world-class strength athletes, world-class, but there's people that are competing on stage, athletes of all kinds, of literally athletic, bodybuilding, weightlifting, powerlifting, Olympic lifting, you name it, CrossFitters. We've got all kinds on the forums, people with different aspirations and targets. And of course, we know that these are used elsewhere as well. And we know that they have something for everybody. They don't fuck around. It's a fairly straightforward approach. There's a few, as Steve just talked about, unique products in there. But for the most part, they know what you want. They create what you want. It is on point, tested, like Steve said. I've talked about this briefly, and I'll bring Steve in just to finish as well, where I say, company products get tested randomly, and in the pharmaceutical industry, they have to be in under 10%, which means a 200 milligram painkiller tablet could be 180 or 220. We've seen independent lab tests for these products when they were less than 3% deviation. That's plus or minus. And in fact, most of them were as close to being on point or even I think there was a handful, Steve, I've seen that slightly overdosed, but again, 1 or 2% too much. So the within the pharmaceutical industry sets for itself, companies like Eurofarmacies are actually fucking better than the deviation that's been allowed out there in the ether. Talk about Eurofarmacies briefly, Steve.
Yeah, one of the reasons your pharmacies, you can trust what they got is look at who's using them. It's professional bodybuilders. They trust your pharmacies. We see a lot of pros going. A lot of these Mr. Olympia guys, I would wager money. They're taking your pharmacies. They're one of the top brands in the world, top three selling brand. And you can expect great customer service, great shipping. And the products, when you order something, any of these oral steroids we talked about, you order one of those oral steroids, you know you're getting that. You don't order Anavar and you're getting Diebold. You don't order, something else and you're getting something else. So you have to be able to trust your source that it's dosed properly. You can't take clenbuterol and have it overdosed. You can end up giving yourself a heart attack, for example. So this is serious stuff we put in our body, and it's very, very important that you could trust, what you're using. So your pharmacy is definitely one of the top brands out there, and the shipping is fast. They have lots of different options to choose from. It's like a one-stop shop. So they always are updating their stuff, and the prices are fantastic as well. It's not like it used to be when I first got into it. We used to pay way more for
Wow.
steroids
Yes.
than today. So, all right, Mobster, finish this up.
Right, guys. So listen, recompositioning can be arguably one of the harder things you're going to do when it comes to getting into shape, being more muscular, being stronger, and so on, getting cut. But it is possible, but you will need to be, as I said at the beginning of the show, absolutely on point. Now, we can help you with that coming onto the forums, telling us what your aspirations are, letting us see your diet, let us see your training, let us see your before pictures. Show us your body fat percentages, give us as much information as possible, and we would do our damnedest as a group to help you and clean up your diet, get your training where it needs to be, and keep you focused because you're putting yourself out there and allowing us to see where you are now and where you want to be in 8 weeks' time, etc. You do this using companies like Eurofarmacies, Tip Top products to enable your transformation to be as successful as possible. And absolutely, listen, if you're listening to the show, it is a fucking recommendation for us. If we give you the kind of information and talk to you about sources like Eurofarmacies and enable you to be successful, because you're going to go back out there and tell people about the great information that we put out, how helpful the guys were on the forum, and how great is the shape you got into, and how much fat you lost, and how much stronger you got, because you used a company like Eurofarmacies to do that as well. So let us know your thoughts on the show. Talk about any recomposition tricks that we might have missed, tips that you've got. Come onto the forum, discuss your journey. We're ready, willing, and able. Please note, we are not doctors, and the opinions are ours. It is our view, and based on our experience and views on the topic, a podcast of informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech, and the First Amendment of rights.